This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are so happy to have you here. And Derkan did his best to blow the shofar. There's place for improvement. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for this beautiful day that we can remember who you are, what Jesus did, how beautiful it is to be able to remember together with all Christians the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, and it's just so amazing that today Jesus stood up out of the grave, conquered the evil, and he repaired the relationship which we can have with you, Father. We thank you so much. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you that we can look forward to a new season, a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a new reconciliation of us with you, Father. It amazes us, and we thank you, Father, and Jesus, and Holy Spirit, for this day that nothing comes close to this. Father, I pray a blessing over the sermon, over the worship, over the preaching, everyone who's listening in. I pray a blessing over you. May it be a blessed sermon to you. And may you remember this for many years. Have your way, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roll and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you. Praise you, there is no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. Shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
thank the Lord for a wonderful day such as this. It is time for worship. And wherever you are, today is Easter Sunday. It marks the day our Lord and personal Savior was risen from the dead. And so he's alive. Wherever you are, you want to shout it out loud that Jesus is indeed alive. And out of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, we enjoy a supernatural benefit from him. And that is where our scripture for today's worship is taken from. Luke chapter 5, verses 17, and it reads, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of the town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem." And I want you to listen to the next statement very well. And it says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Something which is very striking over here was that the original audience saw themselves to be self-righteous people. They were the Pharisees. They felt they were the only ones who warranted the love of God. But it's amazing that God chose among all audience at that particular time to demonstrate his healing power. Let's not forget, somewhere in Matthew, the Bible records that Jesus Christ was unable to do many miracles because of the unbelief of the people. Now, reading this scripture, may I suggest to you that God's determined will to demonstrate his healing power will always supersede the unbelief and the disbelief of our very selves or the people surrounding us, our environment. So I believe today is a day where we can enjoy the healing of the Lord. And wherever we are, even as we are worshiping, I want to encourage you, if it's your head,
Lord of hosts, you wait us with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Oh God of Jacob, fierce and great, you lift your voice and speak. The air that bows and all the mountains roar into the sea. Oh Lord, you know the hearts of men, and still you let them live. Oh God, who makes the mountains melt, come rescue us. And wait. So Lord of hosts, you wait with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Heart be still. Though the
Just worship the name of the living God. The resurrection of Christ proves one thing, that He's worthy. He's worthy to be received as our Lord and personal Savior. He is worthy to be ascribed all the praises. So wherever you are, out of the depth of your voice, begin to lift up your voice and worship. Bless the name of the living God. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy. From you are all things, to you are all things, but you deserve the glory.
Do not enjoy the worship session when I watch it online. So when I was in the worship, I felt like I was on the fire. Thank you. Yeah. And I also want to thank people who are sitting behind the screens, Delare and Melissa, and even Geoffrey. Thank you for such an effort that you guys are taking. And thank you for such a wonderful time. Before we continue, I want to start with prayer. Father, I thank you for this wonderful afternoon, that we can come together under your name. We can worship your name because you are the one worthy to be praised, Lord. Lord, yes, today is the day when you had the victory, Lord. And we already have the victory through the Son, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we do not have to be afraid of anything. We are not under bondage anymore. We are free. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. As we go into the sermon, Lord, I pray that speak through me, that the words that I speak, it's not from my own. The Holy Spirit speak through me, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the sermon that I'll be sharing with you today is, whom are you looking at in wilderness? So I was basically, when I was preparing this sermon, which was like almost 5 days back, I remember that Derek called me and said, like, have you got the sermon? And I said, yes. And he asked me, like, what was the name of the sermon or the topic? And I said, like, whom are you looking at in exam? And then I told him, I was not sure if, you know, the name would be same or it will change. But I said, like, if it is changed, the sermon will be same, but maybe the name will change. And I was praying. I was not satisfied with the term exam, because when I was going through the sermon, I felt like I was more and more talking about the wilderness, not the exam. So I thought, like, let me replace the exam with the wilderness. And wilderness is something which is really, really, I would say, close to my heart. I see myself in the wilderness maybe, yeah, I would say every other day. It's related to something, yeah, my spiritual journey, my worldly journey, my work, my family life, yeah. So I would say that wilderness is something which is, you know, very close to me. So I thought, like, let's start with wilderness. And of course, this is my first sermon in, Shofar. So let's start with wilderness. So wilderness, what is wilderness? We will see. Wilderness is a place where everything is dry. I don't know if you can see the picture. Yeah. Yes. So you can see the desert. The person is walking alone and it's totally dry. And you won't see anyone. No one will be there. And believe me, when you will be there in the wilderness, no one will be there. Even in this world, the closest person that is in my life is my wife. She won't be also there. She, you know, so the person who are closest to you won't be there in your world, wilderness. And wilderness is something where you will really, you will be thirsty, you need water, you will be searching for something, And the circumstances and the time when you will be there in the wilderness will not, it will, like, you know, it will try to discourage you. It will be like, it's not a good moment. It's not a good period of your time when we are in the wilderness. And the church where I used to go, they did not wanted to take the risk of, you know, like, yeah, all those legal things and, you know, that might come upon the pastor who was going to baptize me. So I was asked to go to the court and I was asked to publicly say that I accept Jesus as my Savior. And I remember the person who was baptizing me, he asked me, he told me before he was putting me in the water that you will be tasted. And I was so full of energy. I was so excited. I said, I'm ready for it, you know. And yeah, so my journey with God started from 2012. Back in 2014, I remember I was in college. I really used to do good in studies. I was really good in studies. I was among the top three in my whole department. So 2015, we were going to be graduated. So 2014 was the time when all the companies come to your colleges to recruit the students. And the company in which I was going, the first interview, I would say, in my life, I was so confident. I was on the top of the mountain because I knew that I will be accepted. And of course, we had the privilege, as we were top three of the departments, we had the privilege to directly go to the personal interview without going through all the other assessments, you know. So I was there in the personal interview directly. And I went there, I bombarded, and I came out, and I was like, yeah, I'm getting it. I was so confident. Of course, I trusted God. I knew that God has kept it for me. I was so confident that the day when the results were going to be published, I told my training and placement officer, I want to go myself and get my name from the company for the results. And he said, okay, yeah, they knew that I will be getting it. And I went with few of my friends, maybe 10 or 12 friends from other departments. We went there, and my name was not there. Almost 55 students were recruited from that college, and my name was not there. And it was really, I would say, a heartbreaking moment for me. And of course, I would say at another time, a pride-breaking moment for me. And I felt like that the Holy Spirit kicked me out, you know, down from the mountain to the valley. And I was in the valley. I remember I was so distressed and I was so depressed that I didn't went to college. I missed my classes for next 1 week. And then, yeah, I was just sitting in my room, and I was praying to God. I was asking, how does this make sense? You know, if I do everything, if I have done everything, how am I not supposed to get that job? And I didn't knew that God has something, some other plan. And really, God works in a mysterious way. So yes, of course, that was the first time I would say, in a conscious, spiritual conscious, that I was in a wilderness. So let's see how Jesus was led into a wilderness. If we see from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 9 to 13, it says, one day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven splitting apart and Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. And the next verse we see, the Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals and angels, and angels took care of him. So basically, we see how Jesus was on the top of the mountain at the moment when he was baptized, when he saw that God was happy with him. You know, things were happening. So that those things happen in our life when we are really walking according to the will of God. Everything is working fine and perfectly. Things are falling onto places, you know, and we say, oh God, we praise you. We worship your name. You know, we thank you, you know. Every day we thank God, you know. But then when he was led into the wilderness, we see the same scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. It's in the same context, but how it is written in Matthew. Then Jesus was led by Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. So basically, we see how Jesus was led into wilderness. Jesus was there in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without eating, tempted by Satan. And you know, this is what happens in our life when we are in wilderness. Discouragement, demotivation. People will say a lot of things. You will have depression, but God did not deliver him into his hand. You know how it is painful if someone comes to you who has been anointed by God and tells you that you will be in such a position after 2 days or maybe say a month, you know, and you are sure that God has called you for such a position. How depressing it will be, how painful it will be, and how painful it was for David when Samuel anointed him that he will be the king in place of Saul. And still he was running away for his life. He was in the wilderness. And same way, we see the life of Ruth. How Ruth was, she lost her husband. How she got married with Boaz, and how then she came into the lineage or the generation after which David came, and from the generation of David, Jesus came. So when we are in wilderness, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And the biggest thing that we as a believer, biggest mistake I would say we do is we really look around our situation. We get afraid, we get demotivated when we look at around our situation. And the same thing that happened with me when I was in the wilderness. I was looking at my situation. I saw my friends are enjoying because they have already got job. They are left with more 8 months in the college because they know that they will be going out and joining the companies, you know. And I was really depressed. And in the same way, we get demotivated. And there are different ways you will be in the wilderness. It might happen you are leading a ministry and your ministry is not fruitful. You might happen that you are an evangelist and you are in a dry season. Things are not working out. How to reach out to people. It might happen you are a teacher. It might happen it might happen to anyone. We see that it happened with Jesus. Then who are we? But when we are in wilderness, it's God's plan. Holy Spirit is leading us into wilderness. It's not the devil. It's not the devil who take us into wilderness. It is the Holy Spirit who takes us into wilderness. And we see how David, when he was in wilderness, he was praising God. We see from the scripture of Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comforts me. Amen. That is such a wonderful, that is such a powerful scripture. And yes, that's really true. When we focus on God, when our whole focus is on God, we will forget about the circumstances. We'll forget about our surroundings. When we are in wilderness, we know that the Holy Spirit has bring us into wilderness, then we have to keep our focus on God, because the purpose of wilderness is something which God has already planned for us. And we will see the plans. Now, when Jesus was there in the wilderness, we saw in the scripture that he was tempted by Satan. So the devils will be there in the wilderness. It's not that the Holy Spirit has led you into the wilderness and you are there with the Holy Spirit, but you are not alone there. There will be other things that will be there in the wilderness. The devils. The devils will be there in the wilderness. They will be trying to demotivate you. They will be trying to bring depression and lot of ungodly things in your life. But then we have to be very cautious that when we are into wilderness, devil has that particular, I would say, boundary where till that time or till that part of your life, they can come and have an impact on your life, not more than that. And we will see it if we see from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, from the book of Job. Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. It is really easy to fear God. It is really easy to thank God. It is really easy to worship him when you have everything in your life, when you have the protection, when you have the shelter, when you have everything in your life." We see in verse 11, "But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And now we see, "All right, you may test him." The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses." Now God is setting up a boundary. Listen to this. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." God has already set up a boundary for the devil. He is giving him the authority to impact him, to affect him, but he is setting up a boundary. "But don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. This is what happens when we are in wilderness. We will have those impacts in our life. The devil will come with temptation. There will be a lot of things that will be happening in our life which will demotivate us or depress us. But that can harm us to a certain extent because we live under his authority. We live under his shelter. And that is what was going to happen with Job, that brought into our house, tried to come in and fool around with me. She said, "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." In verse 19 we see, "Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained." So basically, we see how Joseph was in the wilderness, how he was sold as a slave, how he was working Potiphar's house, and we see some promotion, how Potiphar saw God's hand in his work, and how he made him an overseer, you know, in his house. And basically, we see how the promotions were there in the wilderness. And of course, we will have some promotions in our life when we are in wilderness. And those promotions are from God. Yes, we will be in the wilderness. It's not all about dry. It's not all about depression. It's not all about loneliness. It's not all about, temptation. There will be some promotions in our life. But those promotions will only be there when we walk, when we see God's face, when we seek his face, when we seek his guidance, when we seek his presence in our wilderness. There will be one thing that we must not miss in our wilderness. The wilderness is not only about the temptation, not only about the devils, and not only about depression, but there will be other factors which will be there in your life in the wilderness are the wild animals. And we will see how the wild animals work in those wilderness. Basically, we see that we will go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 13, and we will read the verse 13. Where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days, he was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. So we see that in the wilderness, devil was there, and also the wild animals. If you look into some other translation, there will be wild beast. So wild animals are there in the wilderness. We will see now in the life of Joseph, the wild animals. Genesis chapter 39, the same scripture, 39 verse 7 to 11. Genesis chapter 39 verse 7 to 11. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. So basically we see how Joseph, Potiphar's wife. And in the same way, we will have lots of wild beasts, wild animals in our life when we are in wilderness. People will come and tell you lot of things. People will tell you, you can come out of this situation. You know, there is an easy way, you know, but those things are not from God. We really have to discern those things. We will see another scripture. We'll see how the same wild animals were there in the life of Zerubbabel, whom God asked to build the temple, and how the wild animals were there in his life. Let's see. If we go to Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. It says, "The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, 'Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do.'" So there will be people saying, "Oh yes, you believe in Jesus. I also believe. Sometime I go to church. Sometime I pray. You know, we can do it together, you know." And then, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since King Eshardon of Assyria brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, 'You may have no part in this work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us.'" Then you see, when things doesn't go according to the plan of the wild animals, then you see how it gets more worse. "Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed against to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. So we see how Zerubbabel wanted to build the temple, but then when he did not wanted to take help from those uncircumcised, unholy men, how they plotted a plan against them so that they cannot build the temple, you know, all those related to taxes and everything, you know, and how the work of God was stopped that time, you know. This will happen in our life when we are in wilderness, in those times when things will not work according to the plans, when people will come and say to you, and then you will say like, no, I know that God has led me into this situation and he will bring me out of this situation. I do not trust you. And then they will try to demotivate you or criticize you or tell you, you know, they will try to do that. And you will see lot more demotivation, lot more depression, lot more, absence of the presence of God. You won't find presence of God in the wilderness. You will be alone. Of course, God will be there, but when you will be seeking him, it might happen sometime that you will not be able to listen to the voice of God in the wilderness. And this will happen, and this happens, and this, we see that it happened in the life of Zerubbabel. And now we see, okay, the Satan has plotted and, you know, tempted. The wild animals have plotted everything. Now we see how God is working in our life, how he is leading us through the wilderness, how he is answering to this, you know. We see in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6 to 10, we see, "Then he said to me, 'This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way.'" Nothing. Not even a mountain will stand in Zerubbabel's way. Isn't it beautiful? Nothing can stand in our way. Nothing. If God wants us to go this way, no one can stop us. All the doors will be opened. All the closed doors will be opened. "It will become a level plain before me. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'May God bless it, may God bless it.'" So we see how God was speaking to Zerubbabel through Zechariah. And then another message came to me from the Lord. "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." So we see how Zechariah came to Zerubbabel and God spoke to Zechariah and told him to speak to this to Zerubbabel. And then while he was in the prison, the jailer, he promoted him. So we see how God works in our wilderness. Yeah, it might be God works in a marvelous way. We cannot think of his medium or the way or the plans that he works. He might work through his Holy Spirit, he might work through a person like Zechariah, he came. But then he will work. It is not like he will not work. But we will have to keep our faith on him. We'll have to seek him. We'll have to seek his presence. We'll have to thank him. The same way as David says that when I will go through the valleys of the shadow and death, I will thank you and praise you. And that's what we will have to do. When we go through the valleys, when we go through the wilderness, when we go through such an difficult time in our life. It might be sickness, it might be your studies, it might be your daughter or son who is going out of the way. It might be anything. We have to ask God, we have to seek His face, we have to thank Him for this situation when you are in the wilderness, and God will lead you. So, things that are to be kept in mind when we are in the wilderness, I have pointed 3 points. When we are in the wilderness, we are not there by accident. So it's not an accident. We are not there in the wilderness by accident. When we are in the wilderness, we are not there alone. Yes, of course, the wild beast and the devils will be there, but we will always be guided by the Holy Spirit. We will always be, even sometimes we won't feel it, but the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who will lead us into wilderness. And the third thing, we will not be there forever. It's for a certain period of time. And what I have found in my life, and you can relate it with your life, whenever we are in the wilderness, when I come out of the wilderness, I find myself renewed. I find myself with more power and with more strength that God has given me. And that's what God wants us to do when we are in the wilderness. There will be a time in the wilderness when you won't be able to listen to the voice of God. And you will feel like, am I really going away from God? Am I really, going far away from God? Has God really stopped to listening to my prayer? That is not the case. God is always there with you, watching over you. And that period, He is preparing you for a new season He wants to take you in, for a new responsibility, for a new phase of your life that He wants to give you in. And the wilderness is all about God. It's all about God. It says the wilderness isn't about you. It's not about you and me. It's not about the devil. It's not about our worldly things. It's all about God. Our temptations are not about us. It's all about God. Our spiritual journey is not about us. The spiritual journey is not about us. It's all about God. So the whole wilderness is all about God. And I just want to challenge you this afternoon. Think about the walk that you have with God. Have you been to a wilderness? Have you been through this wilderness? Or it might happen, people who are watching us online, or maybe will be watching in YouTube or maybe Facebook. Give it a moment and think, if you are going through a wilderness, is this the situation where you are in a depression, where you feel that you are really far away from God, where you feel things are not working, where you feel that this is not the place where I should be? If it is that, if you are in a wilderness, then I will tell you that God is with you and the Holy Spirit has led you into wilderness. I remember I was reading a book and someone said, like, if someone tells you that a Christian life is very easy and comfortable life, the cross, if someone tells you the weight of the cross is really light, then he has never walked close to God. He has never, because the believer's life is not an easy life. Not an easy life. It's not an easy life. It will be full of temptations. It will be adventurous. It will be adventurous, but it will be full of temptations. And God will be there with us on every step. On every step, He will be. As we were singing the worship song, there was a line where it says, "You are my shelter in the fire. You are my shelter in the desert." So God is there, and God is promising us, you won't have a comfortable life or peaceful life when you are in this world. You will have storm, you will have fiery trials, you will have temptations, you will have tough situations, you will have disappointments, you will have many things in your life, but I will be there with you as a shelter. I will be there with you as your friend. I will be there with you as your father. And isn't it a good thing? Isn't it something which is really precious that God is Himself promising us? I will thank Him, praise Him. And remember, if you are going through those difficult situations, remember those times when you were on the top of the mountains, when you spread your hand and you said like, "God, I thank you, I praise you." And the same thing God wants us to do when we are on the valley, where we are walking through those wilderness. I want to invite you this time with this sermon, that if you are there watching us online or maybe watching later, take a moment of 5 minutes and pray to God if you are having such a difficult time. And the Holy Spirit, as I speak, and the Holy Spirit is ministering me, and that's the reason that also that I'm sharing this sermon. We are really going through a tough situation right now. The current situation we see, we cannot gather together, we cannot worship together. This is really, this has a lot of impact in many people's life. And that's why many people might feel that their spiritual life has dried up. They have moved away from God. But I want to call you and I want to tell you and I want you to come and let's pray. Pray with me so that we can see God's face in this dry season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for such a wonderful time. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to praise your name, Lord. Lord, as we pray, there are a lot of people, lot of Joseph, lot of Ruth, lot of people who are going through the difficult situation, Lord, difficult time. I pray, Lord, that bless them. Bless them in this dry season, Lord. Lord, you are with us in our dry season. You are with us in the wilderness. You are there with us in this wilderness, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, guide them. Speak to them. Lord, anoint them, Lord, because you have a purpose. The wilderness is not about us. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you. Our life is about you. Our mission is about you. Our mission, our life, our everything is about you, Lord. Lord, you are there with us in the wilderness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for such a wonderful promise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful promise. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that those who are seeking you, those who are seeking you, Lord, Lord, I pray that lead them to this wilderness so that they will know you in the wilderness. They will know your power. They will know your peace that we have when we are in the midst of storm, Lord, because you are our joy. Thank you for such valleys in our life. Thank you for such mountaintops in our life, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a blessed week ahead.
Lord of hosts, you with us, with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. Oh, you will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? You want to sing with me? With us in the shelter, with us in the storm, with us, Lord of all. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Lord of hosts, you with us, with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. Oh, you will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of could not hold you, the veil tore before you, we silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you were raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, yours is the name above all. What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my God. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus, for you have no rival, you have no equal, and now and forever, God, you reign. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.